Welcome to the show, y'all. We are going to finish out game two of this doubleheader with you. Rangers currently tacking on some insurance runs, which you absolutely love to see. We are going to go through all of the key moments, the highlights of game one and game two of this doubleheader with the Athletics here in just a little bit. But we will also go through the play-by-play, give you the ending of this game right now. Currently 12-7, Rangers in the top of the ninth. Nate Lowe just singled. Line drive to center field, driving home. Leody Taveras, Evan Carter advances up to second. So we'll see if the Rangers can add one or two more here. One out. Doley up to bat right now. Doley 1-for-4 with a double and a walk on the day. We'll see what Doley can do here. But first, I know a lot of y'all have been with us for a while, but for all of you that are new here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a little bit of extra emphasis on all the teams that we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers. Thank you for listening today. We appreciate you very much. So, rough start to the day for the Rangers. Rough start to the day. In game one, Rangers actually held a 4-2 lead at one point earlier today in game one of this doubleheader after a Leody Taveras two-run bomb. Really looked promising for the Rangers in game one. You had the offense come into life pretty much right away. And then the wheels kind of fell off a little bit for Mike Lorenzen. And really, this was, I think, one of the first times that they truly fell off for him. I know that he had a game where he gave up a couple of two-run bombs when we were playing Seattle. He had pitched like six scoreless innings. Then they brought him back out for the seventh and gave up the multiple two-run bombs. So he ended up only going six innings, four earned runs. I think that was probably his worst start. Even that, I mean, six innings, four run runs, not terrible. This was definitely not his finest moment on the Rangers. But look, it's bound to happen. You're not going to go out there and have a quality start every single time. That would be great. But I don't think any of us have that expectation of Mike Lorenzen. I think we've been a little bit spoiled. But it happened today, and the offense, I think, really did a nice job. Scrappy, just continuing to try and fight and get back in the game. But you know, at this point, you give up three runs in the bottom of the seventh in this first game. That's kind of what we're going through here as the top of the ninth rounds out. You give up the three runs in the bottom of the seventh, and that was kind of all she wrote. It was a pretty tight game up until then. So first game for the Rangers, not super ideal. And I'll tell you what, Shea Langeliers is just like, and I was talking with my buddies about this, he is like the 2024 version of Chris Davis. And what Chris Davis did to us literally every time we would play the A's in the 2010s. Chris Davis would have all these multiple home run games, always driving in RBI in big spots. I mean, Chris Davis was just a Rangers killer. And that is what Shea Langeliers is. I'm surprised, very, very surprised that the Rangers continue to pitch to him. Love to see that, you know, Robertson got him out in this game too. But even in this game one, he did some damage as well. And look, I get it. You can't pitch around Langeliers every single time, depending on the situation. Neither should you have to. Shea Langeliers is hitting below 200. Below 200 right now. So I don't think that you have to say, you know, we're not pitching to that dude. We're not letting him beat us. I just think you have to pitch him better. Shea Langeliers is hitting 202 right now. Before this series, he was hitting a buck 80. So Langeliers, look, you have to know the moment, but the Rangers should be pitching him better and getting him out. He is a 180, a sub-200 hitter. So I know there's a lot of people saying, why even pitch to him? And I kind of agree, depending on the spot. But at the same time, I mean, he's a buck 80 hitter. You can't just walk him every single time. You got to get a guy like that out. But Langeliers clearly just loves playing against Texas. Just lights us up every single time. Tried to win the game that's going on right now. He had a homer in the second inning off Jack Leiter that actually gave the A's a 2-1 lead. But the Rangers offense has rallied since, and they now lead this one 12-7. By the way, Garcia and Smith strike out back-to-back. So we have the bottom of the ninth inning coming up. Not sure who it's going to be. Maybe Leclerc still. Leclerc, of course, had to make things a little bit interesting, as he always does, in the bottom of the eighth. So Leclerc's number so far, after having pitched the eighth inning, Leclerc one inning and one hit, one earned run, a walk, and two strikeouts. So allowed a couple of base runners, limited the damage. So glad to see Leclerc at least limiting damage. But it looks like they are going to bring in Owen White. So we'll see how Owen White does in this spot, a 5-run lead in the bottom of the ninth inning. So, by the way, Owen White has not pitched for the Rangers yet in 2024. 2023, he had 2 games for us, 4 innings, 5 earned runs. He didn't pitch very well for us last year in 2023. Hopefully, it's a different story in this game. Let's have a very non-interesting bottom of the ninth inning here. We'll bring you the play-by-play. Right now, Langoliers, speak of the devil. Shea Langoliers up to bat, 1-for-4 with the bomb on the day, a strikeout. David Robertson really struck out Shea Langoliers in a very, very pivotal moment in this ball game. So David Robertson just continues to be one of, I mean, you could put Yates up there, obviously, but Robertson has been nothing but clutch for the Rangers this season so far. Let me read you David Robertson's line for the game today. 2 innings pitched, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. 5 strikeouts. So essentially, every out was a strikeout except for one batter. David Robertson is on another level this year. 0.87 ERA. Kirby Yates, of course, 0 ERA. The back end of this Rangers bullpen is just absolutely phenomenal. Phenomenal. You love to see it. And I'm so happy that we have finally got some guys that can lock it down at the end of games when you need it. Looks like Owen White gives up the single to Shea Langoliers. Nice little sharp line drive out to left field. Evan Carter fields it, throws it back in. So A's are going to make things interesting, I guess. We'll see what happens here. J.D. Davis up to bat. And again, Rangers lead by 5 runs in the bottom of the ninth. Going back to the first game, wheels just kind of fell off a little bit for the Rangers there in the middle innings. Lorenzen didn't have his best stuff today. I really thought that the Rangers were going to get to Sears and do a little bit more damage than they did. They did put up 4 runs against him. Sears went 5 2/3. So I really thought that it was looking like the Rangers were going to just pick up right where they left off. We're talking about game 1 of this doubleheader. We're with you live, game 2 right now. J.D. Davis, another line drive right to right field. Langoliers advances to second. So just what I said we didn't want. Now it's getting interesting. And now, unfortunately, you're probably going to have to get Kirby Yates up. Because, look, you don't have a game tomorrow. Everybody needs to be on deck. You cannot drop this game to the A's. Unlikely it's going to happen with a 5-run lead in the bottom of the ninth, but baseball's crazy sometimes. But, look, if you have to bring in Yates, so be it. You're playing the Rockies this weekend. Hopefully, fingers crossed, hopefully we're not having to burn Robertson and Yates every single game against the Rockies. That would be ideal and is what should happen. But on a game like today, on a day like today where you've got the off day tomorrow, if you have to use Yates, yeah, I'm sure they'd love to give him a breather, not overextend him early on in the year. But I think you got to do what's necessary. Hopefully Owen White can recover, though. At this point, even if the runners advance or a couple runs come in, just finish the inning without it getting too crazy. 2 strikes on Schumann, the shortstop. He is 1-for-3 with the walk. And looks like he is singling now on a line drive to right field once again. Oh, my goodness. Owen White. Owen White picking up where he left off last year, unfortunately. Feel bad for the guy. 3 straight singles, and now there's a mound visit going on. You got to get Yates up. No messing around here. You don't want to lose this ball game. You're up 12-7. You just tacked on a ton of insurance. Look, clearly Owen White's throwing some strikes. They're getting hit around a little bit. At least he's not walking people, but 3 straight singles. It's time to get somebody up. I really would have liked to have seen Leclerc just finish this game out. I know that he had a little bit of a rough inning, but that's kind of how Leclerc goes. I don't think Leclerc would have had a 5-run meltdown had they pitched him a second inning in the ninth. So probably would have preferred to have seen Leclerc just finish out this game. But it looks like Kirby Yates is now on with the bases loaded. So Kirby Yates is going to finish this one out. So we'll go back to talking about game number 1 a little bit. Simeon went 3-for-5, 2 runs scored, RBI. Simi's on fire right now. That dude is absolutely on fire. 3 hits in game 1. Simi collects another 3 hits. So he's got 6 hits on the day. Simeon is Absolutely. I mean, maybe you put Leody up there as the hottest Rangers hitter right now. Maybe Nate Lowe deserves that crown. But Semien, after his last three games that he's played against the A's, including this one and the one yesterday, he is just lighting his former team up, lighting them up. And he always has done this, it feels like. Every time he goes back to Oakland or every time we play the A's, feels like that guy just takes it to another level. Look, I don't know all of the story of when he left the A's to go to the Blue Jays, I believe, before we picked him up. But I'm sure with a lot of guys that leave the A's that just get traded away or the A's just don't even care to re-sign, I feel like there's got to be, at least with some players, not saying it's this way with Semmy, but I feel like there's got to be a little chip on the shoulder for some of these former A's players that, I don't want to say get dumped, but just don't even get pursued by the A's because they're busy thinking about trading them away or just letting them walk in free agency. Obviously, Semmy was the latter, walked in free agency, signed with the Blue Jays, and then eventually signed with us to that long contract. So love to see Semmy beaten up on his former team. Yates comes in, fires strike one. Hopefully Kirby can get a little ground ball double play and limit some of the damage here. We might have some runs scored here. We're bracing for it. But look, just get out of this one. Just get out of this one. A few runs score, no big deal. Feel bad for Owen White. Owen White gets the call up today. We talked about this yesterday with some of the guys that came in, Yerry Rodriguez, Jonathan Hernandez, who got lit up yesterday in the day game. You're only going to get so many chances, regardless of whether you're a developing prospect or not. Owen White has got some opportunities in the big leagues, only four innings total, I think five or six total games. So look, Owen White's probably got a little bit of a longer runway than some of these guys, but just not great. You come in a five-run game, you give up three straight singles. It's your first day up with the big league club after some of the injuries. And we'll get to all the injuries in a second here. So, by the way, Bryce Soderstrom up for the A's, the catcher. He's got a home run today, two RBI. He's 2-for-4 on the day. Looks like Langoliers just scores on a balk. So we got runners on second and third right now. You know, this balk rule, I mean, look, I'm not saying the call was wrong, but the balk rule, I continue to see replays that just kind of baffle me. What is a balk and what is not? Look, again, not arguing the call as of right now. Would like to see a few more replays of it. By the way, Tyler Soderstrom, I said Bryce Soderstrom. Tyler Soderstrom just strikes out. So we have now got runners on second and third with one down. It's 12-8 ball game. So Kirby Yates, Rangers closers on, trying to get us on a flight to Colorado, on a happy flight to Colorado, having taken three, hopefully, out of four games against the A's in this weekday series. So right now, Harris up to bat. Harris has two walks on the day, 0-for-2. Kirby Yates trying to close this one out. Maybe, who knows, maybe just the fact that we got a base open just relieves the pressure a little bit. No more bases loaded. It's weird in baseball. Sometimes it works like that. You know, so Kirby Yates box home a run. Maybe just having that open base at first makes a little bit of a difference. It just is a different feel when you got bases loaded, nowhere to put anybody. Now you got a 12-8 ball game, still got a four-run cushion, but now you got a base open. 1-1 count so far. So as we were saying, Owen White, Hernandez, Rodriguez, all these guys in the bullpen that are getting opportunities because of all of the Rangers' injuries, you just really wish that they would be doing well with these chances. In baseball, you just only get so many. There are so many stories we never hear about in baseball. Guys getting a call up, it's their major league debut, it's a huge moment, but largely in the opportunity that they get, they scuffle, they give up runs, and eventually they get sent down, and sometimes you just don't hear from guys again. There's a lot of baseball players like that, and clearly as a Rangers fan, that's the exact opposite I want for any guy that's getting a call up, but it is disappointing to see guys not taking advantage of their opportunities, and you can only control so much. It's not like these guys can, you know, again, clap their hands, snap their fingers, and, you know, get a 1-2-3 inning. But still, nonetheless, you wish that these guys could come up from the minors and be a little bit more effective out the gate. Owen White, tough first game for him. Three straight hits, just not what you wanted. You would have loved to seen him maybe give up a run, but just get some outs peppered in there and just close this one out. But to load the bases, nobody out, totally understand giving him the hook and going to Kirby Yates. Would have done the exact same thing. You don't want to mess around with this Oakland team. Oakland's not a great team, in my opinion. I don't care what anybody says. Oakland is not a great team. you should not be splitting a series with them. You shouldn't be losing a series to them. And the Rangers already lost the first series at home against the A's. You want to take 3 out of 4 here. So right now, by the way, 3-2 count. We're kind of in a little bit of a foul fest right now. Harris is fouling off a couple of different pitches. So 3-2 count, base open, 4-run ball game. Rangers lead 12-8, bottom of the ninth. Trying to close this one out with y'all. Get the Rangers a win on their way to Colorado with an off day in tow tomorrow. So let's see if Kirby Yates has some more magic left in him. Still sporting that 0 ERA on the year. Isn't that crazy? Kirby Yates, a 0 ERA this far into the season. That's pretty impressive. I mean, we talked about Robertson. He's down to 0.87 for his ERA. So an ERA below 1. And then you got Kirby Yates, 0 earned runs. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome for the Rangers. Sacrifice fly, by the way. Harris kind of lofted one out to right field. Dolly got under it. Davis ends up scoring. So it's a 12-9 ball game. The runner at second also advanced to third. So there's a runner on third, 2 outs, 3-run ball game. So things are looking good. Hopefully Yates can finish off Toro here. And we can put this one to bed, y'all, and really start getting into our breakdown and our analysis. Kind of trying to wrap up game one a little bit for you. So essentially, the silver lining for game one, though, looking at this game, silver lining for game one is that the Rangers only used a couple of pitchers. They used Lorenzen and they used Wynn as well. So only 2 pitchers. That's huge when it comes to a doubleheader. By the way, Toro singles to right field, 12-10 now. Runner on first base, 2 outs. So tying run does come up here to bat. Still no earned runs charged to Yates. All these runs scoring belong to Owen White. Right now we have Blade. He's 0 for 5 on the day. He does have an RBI, but again, Blade would be the game-tying run here. The good news is 2 outs, only a runner on, but Rangers like to keep things interesting late sometimes. Kirby Yates kind of cleaning up the mess here. Hopefully he can work through it. But as we were saying, the silver lining for losing game one, you only used 2 pitchers, and it enabled you to be able to have all of your top guys for this game, which has clearly come in handy. Clearly has come in handy. So we'll see what happens here in this one. But bottom of the ninth, Blade up to bat. Blade just doubled on a line drive to left fielder Evan Carter, y'all. This one is not going to go to bed easy. 12-11 ball game now. 12-11 ball game. This is crazy. 4 runs scored in the bottom of the ninth. And at this point, Rooker up to bat. Believe he is the 3-hole hitter for the A's. Yep. He's 2 for 5 on the day. Got a base open. Brown is up next with a 1.86 ERA. I can't imagine they're going to put on the winning run here. I don't know. I wouldn't probably in this situation. I don't know if Rooker is that great of a hitter. Not saying he can't come through here, but I'm not sure that I would put on the game-winning run at first base. Then a guy pokes a double in the gap and you end up losing. So I feel like they'll probably end up pitching to Rooker, but we'll see what they do. 12-11 ball game, 2 outs, runner on second, game tying run at second base right now. Whew, it's getting tight, y'all. I got faith in Kirby. I got faith in Kirby Yates. No reason to doubt him now. No reason to doubt. But we'll see what they end up doing here with Rooker, how they pitch him. I'm really curious to see what they end up deciding to do here. By the way, Yates, officially, I think we might have jinxed him a little bit. His first earned run. So Yates now with a 0.57 ERA. And it looks like they did end up deciding to intentionally walk Rooker. Interesting decision. I always think it's a tough move when you decide to put the game-winning run on base in these moments. So, by the way, I said Brown, but they actually pinch hit him for Nevin. Nevin hitting 263 on the year. He's got 2 walks today and a strikeout, no hits. So he's been on base a couple of different times, but Kirby Yates is up right now trying to close this one out. And right now we have got Nevin up to bat. Yates trying to close this one out for the Rangers. They just intentionally walked Rooker, the 3-hole hitter for the A's. Runners on first and second, 2 out. And we're going to finish this one out with y'all. It's getting dicey. Thanks for hanging out with us. We are trying to bring some good luck here by getting on a little bit early. I'm starting to regret it just a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you. But hopefully we will be able to get a win here, guys. Let's finish it out. So we'll get to all our breakdown, all our analysis here in just a little bit. But bear with me as we gut this one out. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Okay, I might be a little bit behind y'all, but Tyler Nevin just flew out to right field. Game over. Game over. Rangers win. Rangers win 12-11. Never a doubt. Never a doubt. A four-run bottom of the ninth inning. It just couldn't be easy, could it? It couldn't be easy to win three out of four in Oakland. It had to be tough. You had, first of all, Monday night, the heroics. Corey Seager hitting the three-run bomb in the bottom of the eighth. It just can't be easy up in Oakland. I've been telling y'all, this is like a house of horrors for us. I just feel like Oakland is just a funky place that the Rangers have always struggled to play in and do well in. I'm not saying they've never won a series up there, but I just always feel like the Rangers go to Oakland and it's just never easy. They either lose the series or they've got to win games like this. A game where you were blowing out the A's 12-7 and it ends up game-winning run on first base, a chance for them to win it on a ball in the gap. Kirby Yates, though, got to give the man credit. That is not easy. No hate or criticism for Yates right now. When you come in with bases loaded, no outs, that is probably the most terrible situation that you could get thrust into as a pitcher. Bases loaded, nobody out, last inning, one swing of the bat, and it's a one-run game. That's the worst situation to get put into as a reliever. So your only job at that point, and I know this was Yates' mentality, is just get the game over with. Just get to the finish line. It doesn't matter how. Get out of the mess. And thankfully, Yates is able to do it here. Believe he is credited with a save in this one because when he came on, three runners on. So I do believe he is going to get credited with a save here, if I am not mistaken. But, oh my goodness, they are trying to give me an early heart attack here. Just get that blood pressure up, Rangers. Woo! I cannot believe how close that one got, guys. But we'll take the win. We will take the win. What's up, everybody, by the way? I see a bunch of comments here on YouTube. Appreciate y'all. And on Facebook, too. What's up, Albert? Thank you. Appreciate the comment. I agree, man. Wild game. Absolutely wild game. But you know what? We're going to take the Rangers getting a win here, and we are going to enjoy it. Three out of four in Oakland. The Rangers are on schedule with what we said. We kind of have been setting the expectations all week long. Can we take at least five out of these next seven games this week? So we have seven total games this week. We played four already. We've got three coming up against the Rockies. Can we get five out of seven? Can we go 5-2? I think that's a very reasonable expectation, and that needed to be the floor. The floor is win five games. If the Rangers only win one more game in this road series, it's a failure for them. You've got a ton of different teams in division playing very good competition. The Rangers have to take advantage this week. You're playing Oakland and Colorado. While you got the Astros playing the Yankees, the Mariners are playing the Twins, who are absolutely on fire of late. This is a week where you need to take advantage of the fact that you're playing inferior competition and almost everybody else that matters in division is playing superior competition. So in my mind, the floor is five wins this week. We've got three. We need two in Colorado, but I would prefer to get three. Colorado is not a team that the Rangers need to be playing around with. That's a team you need to go in and win every game by three or four runs minimum. Colorado is not a good ball club. They are not a good ball club. You have got to take advantage of this light schedule that you have got this week. So I'm glad to see them take three out of four. It's tough to win two games in a doubleheader. It is very tough to win both games of a doubleheader. And there's a few different reasons for that. First of all, you don't know what the pitching matchups are going to be like. You don't know who you're going to have to use in the first game. You can't really map it out perfectly. You try to map out, okay, here's what we're going to do. Lorenzen gives us five. Then we're going to go to, you know, to win and see if he can give us. But look, it all changes depending on the game. So that's what's tough about doubleheaders is you really can't plan them out very well because anything can happen in the first game. And then you get to game two and you got to see how guys are feeling. You got to see how guys' arms are doing. You have to see if anybody is usable again in the second game from the bullpen. Usually they don't do that, but sometimes if a guy's only thrown a few pitches in game one, maybe he gets a little bit of action in game two. So doubleheaders are tough to sweep. Obviously, teams do it every day. Not that doubleheaders happen every day, but teams can win doubleheaders and sweep them. I do think it's tough, though. So to get one of two here and three of four, I think is outstanding for the Rangers. We can't expect them to win every single game, but I think having an expectation of them winning a series against inferior competition, perfect. So look, the Rangers did their job. They take three out of four. You go take two out of three in Colorado. You go 5-2 on the week. That plays. You go 6-1 on the week. That plays even more. So I'm excited for the Rangers. I'm glad that they're able to go up to Oakland, a team that had been winning ballgames. I think this team is overperforming. I sense some fool's gold here with what the A's have been able to do so far. I don't know how long you can sustain three out of nine guys in your lineup hitting below 200. Although since Shea Langeliers just loves playing the Rangers, I think he elevated his average above two. But before the games today, the A's had three out of nine guys in their starting lineup below the Mendoza line. I mean, seriously, hitting below 200. So the A's are not a great ball club, in my opinion. Do they have some young guys that are up and coming? 100%. Their closer, Mason Miller, one of the best arms in the game. I'm sure they'll trade him or let him walk in free agency, kind of like they did for Marcus Semien. Just let him walk. I hope that they don't do him like that, but that's kind of their MO. I mean, man, Rangers, maybe make a phone call. Mason Miller, just saying. I know a few of y'all who have been watching and following along with us here at Ride on Rangers Live have been throwing that out there to me. I'm on board. Let's go get a big arm in the bullpen. My goodness, though, I'll tell you what. My goodness. The Rangers pitching issues. Am I right? These injuries. So you get the news out of nowhere today. Just a freaking gut punch. Dane Dunning, IL. I mean, look, I know that they're going to play things real close to the chest. They're not going to give us the update on how every single dude is feeling after every game. But Dane Dunning with the injury out of nowhere. That's just a tough one. A tough one to swallow. So Owen White obviously got the call up because of the Dane Dunning injury. I just didn't even know that there was an issue, a right rotator cuff strain. I mean, I didn't even realize that there was really that big of an issue with Dunning. Maybe we're talking about something precautionary here. Kind of like with Evo. Like I would say with what Evo's got going on right now, it's probably a little more precautionary than anything else. They're going to skip Evo three times and he should be able to come back after that. But the Rangers have kind of gotten a few gut punches the past, I would say, 3 or 4 days. So first of all, Scherzer having some finger issues or thumb issues. He's not going to throw until those go away. So Scherzer not going to be back in May, I'm sure. I'm sure his date is pushed back to June now. You got Bradford with the rib issue after, I think, the shoulder issue. So who knows when Bradford's going to be back. Then you got Dane Dunning going down. And by the way, I haven't heard any kind of timetable on Dane Dunning. So if you have, drop it in the comments for me. But it just hurts. I mean, the Rangers are running out of starting pitchers. I'm sure Urania is going to be making more starts now. I can't imagine Owen White is going to be a candidate over Urania with the performance today. I mean, I don't think I trust Owen White to competitively pitch. We know at this point that he's young and that he's going to get some runway, but I don't know if he needs to be in the starting rotation. Make Owen White a long relief, blowout game guy. I think that's what Owen White needs to be right now. If we're losing by 10 runs, put Owen White in. If we're winning by 10 runs, put Owen White in. I mean, that's I think, where it needs to be with him. I don't think Owen White needs to be taking Dane Dunning's rotation spot. Jack Leiter, we'll see what happens with him. What I understand, by the way, about Jack Leiter. So Jack Leiter was the 27th man. Whenever there's a doubleheader, MLB allows teams to expand their roster to 27, and you can call somebody up from the minors. And I don't know if it wastes one of their call-ups because, you know, you can only send a guy down so many times. So I don't think they waste a Leiter send down. I think, though, he has to go back down for 15 days before he can get called back up. So my understanding is that is what's happening with Leiter. He was the 27th man, so they have to call him up, send him back down. It doesn't get counted towards his demotions. Doesn't count as an option, but he can't come back for another 15 days, I believe. So roughly two or three turns in the rotation. So Leiter will be back, I would guess. However, Leiter did not have a great game today. The Rangers just love to give him run support. I mean, we had, what, in the fourth inning, it was a 4-2 ball game going in. 4-2 ball game. And you've got a two-run lead. And Leiter just not able to hold it immediately after we go up 4-2. Or excuse me, I'm looking at the other box score. But I think my point still remains the same. We gave Leiter a lead today, and he's not able to hold it. And that's tough. But Leiter, second career start, I think there was some progress. But at the same time, you look at his stat line, and there's still just too many hits given up. 7 hits in 4 innings. 6 runs allowed, but only 4 of them earned. So once again, Rangers did make some errors today that did lead to some unnecessary runs. Would I say like Leiter looks great or looked great today or really showed a ton of improvement? I don't know, y'all. I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but I can't say that I was wowed by Leiter's performance today. He didn't walk anybody. I think that's a big positive. No walks is huge because last time against Detroit, that wasn't true. He gave up, I think, 3 or 4 walks, gave up 6 or 7 hits. But today, 4 innings pitched, 7 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 homers. 2 homers. Leiter has been a little susceptible to the long ball. I think even in AAA this year, he's given up some bombs. Look, Leiter is going to be up with the club, I'm sure, just by nature of the fact that we have so many pitchers that are injured. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see what they decide. I would like to see him continue to get better in the minor leagues at this point. I think what we've seen is probably not quite ready. I mean, sure, they could leave him up in the rotation, and this is probably what you'd get out of him for a number of starts moving forward. But that being said, I really feel like Leiter needs some time in the minor leagues, and hopefully he'll be able to find his form there and then come back up in the major leagues. That would be huge. So right now, what we've got going on, a little bit of box score review. That's the plan here. And then from there, we are going to start looking forward to the matchup on Friday. And we'll take a little bit of look at other things going on around the league as well. So let's go ahead and let's get right into it, y'all. Simi goes 3-for-5 with 2 runs scored and a walk. We also have Evan Carter going 1-for-6 today. He had an RBI. Nate Lowe, 2-for-4. He continues to rake. His average is up to .328. So Nate Lowe, really a staple in that three-hole spot for us. He has been a godsend in that three-hole position. There were a lot of concerns that I know I voiced when we had Carter and Langford occupying that spot in the lineup. I think they're where they need to be at this point. I've said that many times. I think having Nate Lowe up there is a big, big deal for this Rangers offense at this point. So he goes 2-for-4, 2 runs scored, 3 RBI, 2 walks. Nate Lowe on base 4 times today. And Nate Lowe is playing very, very good baseball right now. Very good baseball. He did, I think, have the throwing error today at first base, which surprised me a little bit. That's what led to some of Leiter's unearned runs. But right now, who would you say hottest Rangers hitters are? Simeon, for sure. I see that in the comments, Simeon. Nate Lowe's got to be up there. I think Leody has got to be up there too. Leody goes 1-for-4 with a walk today. So on base twice. 2 out of 5 times on base today, average up to .254. Look, we've done our fair share of criticism for Leody on this show, but you got to give him his flowers where they're due. The guy's getting on base right now and hitting well. So I definitely am going to give him some props. The past week and a half, he has been at least at the plate, hitting well, seeing the ball well. Got to give him credit there. Hopefully he can clean up the defense a little bit, clean up the base running a little bit. But you'll take what you're getting from Leody right now at the bottom of the order. I do think that they showed a stat. He is, like, for bottom of the order hitters, up at the top of the league in hits. I think there's one guy on the Angels that has more hits from the bottom of the order than Leody does. So we're going to give Leody some flowers today. We're going to give him some props. He has been hitting well. But I think Simeon got to be probably up at the top. I see a lot of Simi. I think having him hitting like this just so totally sets the tone for this entire Rangers offense. It totally sets the tone. Having Simeon hitting like he's hitting right now, it's fun to watch. I mean, when he hit that home run to start off the game the other day, I mean, that is Simi at his finest right there. First pitch, bomb. You just love to see that. It sets the tone for the entire game. It just does. So Marcus Semien, I hope this is a sign of good things to come for him. I hope he can get hot and really sustain this. He's had a few stretches of a few games where he's looked really, really good, but then kind of dropped off and gone through some cold spells. I hope this is something that he can carry on into the weekend. So at this point, Semien carrying the offense a little bit right now. Dolley goes 1-for-5. Dolley's in, I would say, a little bit of a slump. Do we want to say that? Dolley in a little bit of a funk right now. We've talked about Dolley, you know, maybe dealing with some injuries. I'm not 100%. Can't put my finger on it exactly. And the Rangers don't exactly disclose every single ailment. I mean, look at the Dunning injury just coming out of nowhere for at least fans, right? Obviously, in the organization, they know. But Dolley in a little bit of a funk right now. Just doesn't look completely like himself up there. 3 more strikeouts today. Yeah, how could I forget Jonah Heim? How could I forget Heim? He went 2-for-4 today, 3 RBI. Heim hitting 300 on the season. Heim has been huge. A lot of people might remember Jonah Heim, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, because I think this might have stuck in some of your guys' minds too. I know I posted about this earlier in the offseason. Didn't Jonah Heim get left off a top 10 MLB catcher list in the offseason? I'm almost 100% he did. And I made a pretty big deal about it. It was like a top 10 MLB catchers. And the Gold Glove World Series winning catcher, Jonah Heim of the Texas Rangers, gets left off. Not a top 5, not a top 3, although I think he is. A top 10 Major League Baseball catchers list. I think that was absolutely ridiculous. I think a lot of people sleep on Jonah Heim. I think defensively, there's nobody that I put better than him. I just don't. Maybe somebody with a little bit of a better arm. But Jonah Heim throws out base runners. His framing is second to none. You don't win a Gold Glove, you know, being okay or mediocre back behind the dish. Jonah Heim is at minimum a top 5 catcher in this league. What he does with the bat and what he does behind the plate. The man's hitting 300 right now. Let's do a deep dive in his stats. So he's hitting 300 on the year. Let's take a look at the RBIs and all that good stuff. I know he's tacking on right now, 100%. So Jonah Heim today, 3 more RBI. He's up to 26 on the season. I think these are updated now. 26 on the season, 4 bombs. OBP is 340. OPS 766. Jonah Heim is probably up at the tops in catcher production. I'd really like to see the other catchers in the league. There might be a guy that has more RBI, more homers than him, but just collectively speaking, he's got to be top 5. Got to be top 5. Should get another All-Star nod, I think. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to look at other AL catchers right now, but at this point, a catcher hitting 300 with the kind of defense that Jonah Heim gives you on a consistent basis, I don't know who you're putting above him. Great, great catcher. And he's playing above what I think everybody expected of him for this year. I said at the very beginning of the season before the Young injury, you didn't need Jonah Heim to have 95 RBI again like he did last year. But he might get there if he continues doing this. I mean, seriously. So Jonah Heim, happy for him. Very happy for him. And hey, Robbie Grossman, by the way. I know y'all saw that trade. Robbie Grossman coming back to the Rangers. Had to give up a minor league relief pitcher, I believe, to get him. Look, if we're being real, is this a little bit of a whoops by the Rangers? And when I say that, I mean, whoops, we probably should have just kept him. I think so. You probably should have just kept Grossman if you were going to end up ultimately trading back for him. I mean, that's just my opinion. But I think it's a great trade. I think it's a great trade. I'm glad that they did it. I wish that they would have just kept him, though. Who knows what was holding that up? But I'm assuming they just figured Langford is just going to dominate. You don't expect guys to have injuries, but I'm sure they just figured Langford's going to dominate. Carter's going to play most days. We got Dolley. And then Tavares is going to play most days. So you bring back Jankowski. Now you got 5 outfielders. I don't know. I know it's tough. I know you don't want to carry 6 outfielders. And, of course, we didn't know if Wyatt Langford was going to make the team or not. but I'm glad that they got him back. I don't think that Robbie Grossman is going to be a major factor for the Rangers for very, very long. But I think while we have some injuries, while Wyatt Langford at least is on the IL, I think he will get some starts, especially against left-handed pitchers, because the Rangers are struggling right now against lefties. And I know that with Robbie, he can't hit the lefties. I don't know what the splits are, but I'm glad that they got Robbie back. I think that's huge. I think that they absolutely, absolutely made the right decision. I don't know very much about who they gave up. If y'all do, drop it in the comments. I don't really know much about who they gave up, who the relief pitcher was, the minor league relief pitcher. I don't keep up with all the prospects perfectly. The top ones I'm aware of, but I definitely don't keep up with everybody top to bottom in the Rangers organization prospect-wise. So glad that they got Grossman. Hopefully he'll give a little bit of depth when there's lefties, because this offense has appeared to struggle. Although against J.P. Sears today, not terrible. You got four runs off J.P. Sears, so not terrible. But nevertheless, good to have the depth. And who knows, maybe Grossman ends up staying up. I don't know what their plans are for Langford. If they're going to give him a little rehab time down in the minors, maybe make that his like unofficial send down and then bring him back up, or if they're going to do something a little bit more long term. I don't know what the rules are on like how long you can rehab. I'd be interested to know that, actually. If one of y'all does know, let me know. What are the rules on how long you can rehab down in the minor leagues if you're on the major league roster? So my thought would be let him play the max amount of games down at AAA when he does come back before you bring him back. No rush at this point. He was having a tough year. I think Langford was down to around 230 batting average. Just didn't look totally comfortable up at the plate. So I wouldn't be surprised if they max out a little rehab stint for him. Maybe they'll send him down outright, but I feel like they're going to start with kind of the floor of rehab assignment, and we're going to stretch that baby out as long as we can and then see where he's at and see how he's hitting in AAA on the rehab assignment. By the way, what's up to everybody on YouTube and Facebook? Thanks for joining in. Appreciate y'all. Bullpen-wise, let me go to a comment from YouTube here. Bullpen-wise, look, I actually think that letting go of Chapman wasn't the worst thing. Chapman had his moments for the Rangers. What the Rangers are missing, though, I think what they're missing is a high-octane arm, just in general. It could have been Chapman. It would have been nice if they would have gone out and got some kind of high-octane arm, righty or lefty. Right now, the Rangers don't really have a guy like, I'm not saying Mason Miller level. Right? That's hard to do. You're not going to find that off the street. But a guy that can hit 99, 100 consistently. I don't know if the Rangers have a guy like that. They've got some guys that can hit high 90s, but it would have been nice if they would have at least replaced Chapman with a guy that has that high velocity arm that can come in, throw the high fastball, work in the low off speed, the low and away off speed, kind of like Chapman did, right? He was like that fastball slider combo, something like that. That's what Mason Miller is for the A's. 103 mile an hour fastball, 86 mile an hour filthy slider. And that slider looks a whole lot more filthy because you're throwing 103. So I think that was the problem. I don't think keeping Chapman was the play per se, but the play was let's have a high octane arm in the bullpen that can come in and just blow it past people when you need it. I don't think we do have that. This is a good point because I was just thinking that. I don't think we have that at AAA either. I don't think in AAA we have a dude upper 90s, and I'm not talking 96-7. I'm talking you touch 99-100 nearly every pitch. We don't have a guy like that, I don't feel, in our system. And it would have been nice if the Rangers could have gone out and got somebody like that, either through trade, free agency. Obviously, Hader is that kind of guy, but you didn't want to spend the big bucks on Hader. Look, if they would have, I would have cheered on Hader gladly and been pumped about that. I think Hader would have been the high octane but high price guy that you would want in your bullpen right now if you're the Rangers, but the price I think a little too high. They need a guy though that can throw hard and blow it past people. You need that in October. Chapman was good for that. Let's see what the Rangers do at the deadline. I think they're going to add a bullpen piece. It would shock me if they are just going to let Yates and Robertson and Leclerc be the three guys. I think they're going to add somebody else into the mix. Could be wrong. That's just my strong prediction. I could see us absolutely going and getting a big arm at the deadline for the bullpen. Now, it's probably going to be a guy that maybe is a little under the radar to most Major League Baseball fans, but is having a great year and has a live arm. That's kind of how it goes with bullpen additions. It's like, it's rarely like this celebrity, super, super well-known guy. It's usually a guy that has a live arm that's pretty under the radar to most fans, but is just having a great year. Those are the guys that start getting traded at the deadline. We'll see what happens. You know, a lot has to unfold. We have to see who the sellers are. It's kind of becoming a little bit clear right now who the sellers are, but that's kind of the stuff that you got to figure out. We'll see. I'm really tired of the injuries too, though. I absolutely want to see the Rangers get healthy. It's frustrating. Now, I don't know if I would agree with the pitch clock. I think, and I've said this many times, the reason why guys are suffering injuries, in my opinion, by and large, look, this isn't a blanket statement. Obviously, pitch clock, maybe for some guys it is. I'm not saying that that's out of the realm of possibility. But in my opinion, in baseball right now, it's valued to be able to throw 99-100 as hard as you can. And you know what gets coaches' attention? Velocity. That's what gets the front office's attention. Velocity. There's not a ton of what I would call pitchers left in the league. I think a lot of guys coming up are just throwers. They can throw absolute gas. They've got decent off-speed stuff that is absolutely accentuated by the fact that they can throw 100. So what I'm saying is your off-speed doesn't have to be pinpoint filthy when you can throw 102, 103. Because as long as you can throw 102, 103, you mix in that slider, that off-speed pitch, and it just looks devastating in comparison. So in my opinion, it's the fact that right now in baseball, we value velocity more than anything. We don't value the Greg Maddux types in baseball right now. We value the dudes that can throw 103 like Mason Miller. That's who everybody wants right now. That's like kind of like the hot, you know, the hot topic at the deadline. A's Mason Miller. Now, I don't know if they're going to trade him or not. Haven't heard anything like that, but those are the guys people want. The guys that can throw 103. Nobody wants the Greg Maddux type. Oh, 92, 93, paint the corners, throw the changeup. I mean, look, the Rangers, I think Cody Bradford is kind of like that, kind of a paint the corners guy. There's still guys out there that throw low 90s and are competent, successful major league pitchers, but it's just not what gets people's attention. And so I think really velocity and the value on the velocity is what has caused a lot of the pitching injuries. Now, could the pitch clock be contributing? For sure. Not disregarding the pitch clock, but there's been a lot of guys that have worked fast in the game for a long time. So I don't know if I'm really willing to go all in on it's the pitch clock, it's the pitch clock, but I think it could be a factor, no doubt. So I'm not trying to disregard this comment by any means up here. I think it could be a part of it. I do just think that the velocity and the importance, right, the fact that it's been put on such a pedestal is what is contributing to a lot of these injuries. That's my take. So beyond that, guys, let's look at Friday's matchup. We're going a little long here. That's all right. We had two games to cover today. Rangers, of course, take one out of two in the doubleheader today. They win the second game 12-11. It's a happy flight to Colorado, isn't it? I mean, you won 3 out of 4. Yeah, it sucks. You could have swept the series. They could have won game one. They were up 4-2 after the Leody Taveras bomb, two-run bomb. But it wasn't meant to be. You got 3 out of 4. It's all good. Get on a flight to Colorado and go there and hopefully sweep the Rockies. That should be the goal, 100%. So let's look at the scores from around the league, and then we'll do matchup for Friday, against the Rockies. So Angels beat the Pirates. They improved to 14-23. We also have, looks like, the Astros losing again. I'm sorry. It just brings a smile to my face every time I see that. I can't contain myself. Forgive me. Astros lose again, 9-4 to the Yankees. We just keep getting these outstanding great days, don't we? Hey, we win, Astros lose. It's a great day. Mariners lose as well. This day just gets better and better. So the Mariners lose as well. Astros lose. Angels, they get the win. But everybody else taking an L in the division, we'll take it. We will take that 100%. So I think now for the Rangers, for the standings, game and a half now, maybe, or a game on the Mariners. I know with the fact that we played two games today, it's a little interesting. But we are now looking at the updated standings, one full game up on the Mariners. So, yeah, even though they lose today because we lost the first game, they gain a half game. And then, yeah, okay. All right, we figured it out. Oakland, four games back now. Angels, 7. Astros, 8.5. So we got a nice little lead going in the AL West, and the Astros just continue to slip. You're digging a deep hole. You're 12 games below 500. Look, 36 games in. So we're about, not quite a quarter of the way through the season. So they could climb out of it, but they're going to have to start going on a run here pretty quick. Right now they're on a 4-game losing streak, and I'm here for it. But who knows? Their GM came out and was very, very vehement that they were not going to be sellers at the deadline. We'll see if they keep this losing streak up, man, what they're going to be doing at the deadline. Time will tell on that one. But let's look at the matchup for Friday, shall we? So on Friday, nobody been announced yet for either team, it looks like. It's TBD for each one. Now, I'm sure John Gray is going to be pitching at some point. That should be fun. John Gray getting to go back and face the team that drafted him. John Gray, first-round draft pick by the Rockies in the early 2010s. So that'll be probably a pretty fun moment for John Gray. I'm sure he's going to end up pitching at some point. Now, I'm going to Saturday. I'm going to Sunday. Nobody's been announced for any of these games yet. So, unfortunately, y'all, we're not going to be able to go through any pitching matchups for you today. But let me tell you this. The Rockies are 8-27. I don't need to say a whole lot more at this point. You should be sweeping this series. The Rockies are not a good baseball team, probably the worst team in baseball. Don't take it for granted. We're not saying it's just hook, line, sinker. They're going to be winning by 10 runs every game. But you got to find a way to win 3 games in Colorado. If you go 2 out of 3, so be it. 2 out of 3 is worst case scenario. 2 out of 3. And then you go full sweep as the preferred outcome. Strongly preferred outcome. So with that, when we go to the other teams, the Astros got to go to Detroit and play the Tigers. And we learned that the Tigers have got some good players. We won that series in Detroit, I believe. But the Astros, they're probably going to have their hands full a little bit on the road in Detroit. Then we move to a couple of the other teams in the AL West. The Angels host the Royals. I'm not really worried about the Angels, but we'll still mention them. It's still the beginning of the season. We'll be nice. Angels still play the Royals in a 3-game set. And then we've got the A's and the Mariners squaring off. A's are going to go to Seattle and play the Mariners. Hopefully the A's will turn it back on and they can give the Mariners some fits. That would be phenomenal. So that's what we got going on for AL West matchups this weekend. As I said, this is the weekend to continue to gain more ground. You'd love to be up 2 or 3 games on the Mariners by the end of this weekend. That's still a pretty small lead, but you definitely got to take advantage of these series where you're playing inferior and other teams in your division are playing superior talent and competition. So we'll have a video out to y'all probably on Friday in the afternoon before the game. It looks like on Friday it is a 7:40 Texas start. So we'll do a little late night right on Rangers Live on that day. That should be fun. Hopefully we'll be coming at you after 3 straight wins. Beyond that, some quick bonus content. And I'll check comments too. Natalie, by the way, totally agree. Thanks for the comment. I'm with you. Langford needs to go back, hopefully on a little bit of an extended rehab assignment to AAA, and hopefully get his swing back to 100. I think that a little bit overwhelmed perhaps in the majors, not incapable, but a little bit overwhelmed, maybe pressing a little bit. Maybe that's a better way to put it. Wyatt Langford probably pressing a little bit. So hopefully he can get his swing back, get into a groove at AAA when he does a rehab stint. I'm assuming that's what they're going to do. Although sometimes the Rangers like to give guys just a start right in the majors, right off an injury. But I would think that you would take advantage and just send him back to the minors and let him play at least a few games there first. So we'll talk a little bit Mavs now at this point and Stars too. So Mavs, by the way, pretty bad game from them last night, I would say. Terrible shooting. it was painful to watch there in the third and fourth quarter. Luka clearly dealing with some injuries. I'm not too sure what this game two is going to hold. I could see it going either way. I don't think the Mavs are going to get swept or anything like that. I think it's actually going to be a competitive series. It might take the series going back to Dallas for that to happen, but I think it's going to end up being a competitive series. It does kind of depend on Luka, though. I don't know if the Mavs can handle Luka being that off. I mean, Luka, I don't even know if he broke 20 points in the game last night. If you're not getting 20 from Luka, I think you're in trouble. I mean, I think we got to monitor that injury, but I think that the Mavs win healthy. If Luka's 100%, the Mavs can absolutely hang with the Thunder. In fact, you kind of felt like at times like the Mavs were the better team, just weren't playing very well. I mean, they played pretty bad and were still like in that game, even in the late third quarter, I would say. In the early fourth, it started kind of getting away from them. But I would say I felt at times, why are they playing so bad? Like, they could be beating this team. That's at least how I felt. We'll see what happens in game two. I'm interested to see how they bounce back. Not sure if Timmy Hardaway is ready to be on the court, being his normal self out there. It started out well. He scored like right off coming into the game, but I don't know. They might need to ease him back in a little bit more. Good to see Gafford having a big game too, stepping up, being physical, getting some points in the paint. They're going to need more of that. I think it's going to be a fun series. And hopefully the Mavs can bounce back, tie it. That Stars game was surely a heartbreaker, though. And y'all know my background a little bit. I do claim the Vegas Golden Knights, living out here in Vegas the past 15 years. Albert, by the way, appreciate you, bud. Thanks for joining in. Lived out here the past 15 years, I want to say. So when the Knights came to town as an expansion team, kind of just caught on real quick. There was kind of some crazy stuff that happened their first year out here in Vegas. Of course, the 2017 mass shooting that happened at the Country Music Festival out here. That was the very first year for the Knights. In fact, the Knights played the Stars very first game that they ever played. And it was a pretty incredible, powerful moment. It was just really hard not to get on board with the Knights, with everything that they did for the city in that very first year when Vegas was kind of reeling from that shooting, going all the way to the Stanley Cup final, losing to Washington ultimately. But I have fully adopted the Golden Knights, but the Stars were my childhood team growing up. Enjoy rooting for them. Still love seeing them do well. So I was very, very surprised to see the Stars up 3-0 in the first period, first of all. But then to take a break and just watch the Mavs and then come back like an hour later and see 3-3, that was absolutely crazy. Tough loss, but I still feel like the Stars are going to be okay. I mean, look at what happened with the Vegas series. Vegas won the first two games. It looked pretty bleak, especially with the series going back to Vegas. Then after that, the Knights dropped 3 straight to the Stars. And of course, it went to a game 7. Stars are ultimately victorious. Wouldn't be surprised if something like that happens in this series. I think the Stars are better than the Avs. I think next round, if Edmonton advances as well, I think that's going to be a tougher, much tougher series for the Stars. But I'm absolutely confident that they can come back and beat the Avs. It just sucks to lose the way you did in overtime after being up 3-0. I think at the end of the first period, the Stars were even on the power play. I will say this. I was telling my buddies this. I'm not much of a Pete DeBoer fan. Pete DeBoer was the Sharks coach before he coached for the Vegas Golden Knights. Sharks and Knights have a pretty solid rivalry at this point, I would say. Although now that the Sharks have kind of taken a turn for the worst, maybe not so much anymore. Never really loved the Pete DeBoer hire. We were very, very inept. The Vegas Golden Knights were with Pete DeBoer in the power play, in my opinion. It wasn't a great power play. And I feel like the Stars have struggled to score a little bit on the power play in this postseason. Just haven't looked great. There's been some power plays where the Stars haven't even gotten a shot off. So I feel like DeBoer, I don't know what it is. I just have never felt like in the past 4 years, he's been 5 years with the Knights and the Stars, never have felt like the power play has been great from his teams. I think that's a big thing for the Stars. If they can get that back on track, they are going to be crazy, crazy hard to beat. I do agree with this. Just having watched, I got to be total full disclosure here. I went condensed game. I watched the first period. Then I pretty much went all Mavs, but I watched kind of the condensed game that they put out, giving you some extended highlights of period 2, 3, and OT. But it did feel like to me the Stars were the better team in the game. Feel like they outplayed the Avs. But then in OT, you just never know what's going to happen. It's so unpredictable in overtime hockey. So I don't want to say coin flip, because obviously skill takes over, strategy takes over. But at the same time, when it's sudden death like that, it's crazy. And anything can happen. I do feel good that the Stars are going to come back and win the series. And I'm being maybe a little bit more objective than my Stars fans out there can be. I feel being a Golden Knights fan primarily, but having an affinity for the Stars, them being my childhood team, and having watched them along with the Knights this year, I always keep my eye on them. I just have a confidence that they're going to win it. I think Scott actually predicted Stars in seven. I could see that for sure. I think Stars in six or seven. I don't know if they're going to reel off four straight wins here and win it 4-1, but I could see 6-7, absolutely, 100%. Well, all right, y'all. We'll be off tomorrow. It'll be kind of nice, actually. We've kind of been working hard of late with all these day games and doubleheaders, so we're going to enjoy a little day off tomorrow. I don't know. Are the Mavs back on tomorrow? I'll have to check this out here. Mavs and Stars back on tomorrow, right? So let's see. Oh, yeah. Here we go. I'm glad to see that. So we'll take a little day off tomorrow, watch the Mavs, watch the Stars, kick back, relax, enjoy it, and then we'll be back at y'all on Friday. That sounds like a plan. You know, I appreciate you guys. Hey, as I always ask, share this with a Rangers fan. You know somebody who's a big Rangers fan. I would really appreciate you sharing the account, sharing the channel, sharing the page with them. That would mean a lot to me, but thank you for being here with me on these lives, liking and sharing, subscribing, all that good stuff. I really appreciate all of you, and we're looking forward to the weekend. Hopefully, three Rangers wins in a row. Push that winning streak back up to four games. That's the plan for this weekend. We'll try and come at you maybe to close out a couple of the Rockies games, too. That's always fun. And as we always say here at Ride on Rangers, God bless. Go Rangers. Hope you all have a great Thursday. Go Stars, and go Mavs.